Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? What? I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Pipes is writing down a lot of stuff. I'm just going to go from the gut.
I'm going to sell you on a guy that I already know you're not buying. All the deep dives.
Caillou, the kid that whined. I'm going to be frank. Sometimes I want a Clifford and Bear in the Big Blue House to go over and just knock him around.
I think they will win. They're back at home.
I'm going to go off here.
Hans, come in here. Let's poke you in the eye.
I literally just create madness. I put a packet of mild sauce.
The one Taco Bell packet was a little...
That was strange.
I don't know. Their secondary grades out is the worst. High scoring. Take the over. He who had injury, he who had.
King Derek the V.
Is it better to have two defensive coordinators or none?
Or none.
They have Tua's brother. It's easier than to pronounce. Talia Tua Valoa. Yeah.
This song I really dislike.
Hans. Trevor's on fire right now. You got to be a trendsetter. 14 team, all heavy favorite. How dumb am I for doing that?
Yeah, you're dumb.
We're going to be doing that, by the way, at the end of the hour. A little Trev's Ticket, Week 3 edition, getting you ready for college football and the National Football League. A game tonight, that rugged NFC East. That was sarcastic. The Giants visiting the Washington football team tonight. So we'll see what happens there. It's football, man, so you watch it. Got to thank Andre Curbelo last hour for joining us. That was fun. On the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. And I also said Brad Bielema instead of Brett. Not sure why I did that, but Joe corrected me on the U of I Line and Link text line. Thank you, Joe, for the correction. We're going back to the Dick Van Dyke Appliance World phone line. And I can't tell you how honored and excited I am to have Ray King, former St. Louis Cardinal pitcher, join us. Ray, how are you, buddy?
I'm well. How are you guys?
We are great. Thank you so much for doing this, number one. I'm sure this was so out of the blue. You're like, what?
Yeah, it's fine. You know, you get calls and you pick and choose what you want to do. And, you know, heard a lot of good things about you guys. So it's an honor for me to be on your radio.
Well, we appreciate hearing that as well from you, Ray. And, you know, one of the things that we had talked about the other day is with Adam Wainwright doing what he did. I thought, you know, I want to go back to when it started and kind of figure out who was on his team. And to think now that Waino's still doing what he's doing and you were the guy. I'm like, oh, Ray King, that would be perfect. You were coming over in a trade, obviously, with him, Jason Marquis, Adam Wainwright, and yourself for J.D. Drew, Eli Marrero. What do you remember about that trade?
Well, for me, it was an unbelievable trade. You know, I'm, you know, right there in Tennessee, grew up a Cardinal fan. Remember going to St. Louis when I was a younger kid, setting up in the 200 section by Big Mac Land, Ruth on. Will McGee, Vince Coleman, all them guys. So when I got that call, it was a dream come true to where now as a kid, I'm going back and playing a field that I idolized growing up. And it's just, you know, being there in Tennessee, big Cardinal fan, local radio stations, everything was Cardinal, Cardinal, Cardinal.
Yeah.
So for me playing there, it was a dream come true. And that trade, I got that call. And I think before, you know, Scherzer told me where I was going, all I heard was St. Louis. I don't think I heard anything else.
That's awesome.
Right before we ask you about Waino, I want to talk about that 2004 bullpen that you guys had. Yourself, Steve Klein, Izzy, of course, on the back end, even Julian Tavares was great. I mean, what was it like being with so many talented guys in that bullpen?
Well, I tell everybody, well, that bullpen there was just a group of guys that, you know, quote unquote, didn't pay attention to a lot of things until it was game time. You know, from Kleiner, if you know Kleiner, is always a jokester. Yeah. Iserhausen, Julian Tavares looking to buy a house, looking at magazines, knowing he's not going to buy a house in America. Yeah, Mike Lincoln, Cal Eldred. It was just a group of guys that we all got along, and then Tony just put us in, and Duncan just put us in situations where no matter who came out of that bullpen, we was pretty solid. Especially with Kleiner having two lefties that, you know, both of us had great years that year. So Tony can use one in the, you know, sixth, one in his, you know, eighth inning to get the ball to Izzy to where we just rolled out of that bullpen no matter what was going on, we was going to get that save or get that hole and just get the ball game to the end of Izzy and get that W to where, you know, sucks we didn't win it all, but to win 105 games.
Wow.
And I don't think we had many blown saves in that bullpen to where it was just a group of guys that knew their role, and when you know your role, you just adjust to it.
Now, when you came out of that bullpen, you didn't just come out of that bullpen. You ever get clocked from bullpen to mound, ever? Like, that was pretty fast.
Well, because really look at it because everything was on a clock, and I didn't throw a lot of warmer pitches. So I took my time in the bullpen, and then when they said come in, umpires used to yell at me, and then I started jogging quicker. So I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go, and then we still got to wait on the commercial. So I always had a little standing, running joke with every umpire because they're trying to, you know, Lance Diaz, you know, Joe West, yeah, all those guys, Angel Hernandez, they're trying to get me to hurry up. So I would sprint in for one or two warm-up pitches. I look at them like, I'm ready to go. So it was always an inside joke with them guys.
It is awesome to have Ray King, former St. Louis Cardinal pitcher, joining us here on the show. You can follow Ray on Twitter. It's at Ray King Varsity. We just had a text come in from one of our listeners that said Ray King was the MVP of that bullpen, had 30-game scoreless streak with the Cardinals. I believe that was May through July, and he only allowed 9 hits in that span. He was awesome. What was the biggest difference, if there was, between you and Klein? I know, besides the hat, obviously, which we got to ask you about the hat. Did that thing just smell in the bullpen, number one?
I joke with Klein. I was like, you got that hat when you were like 3 years old. You never washed it. You slept in it. You bathed in it. And you know, you never took it off. And I was like, you know, I see why. Under that hat, that hair was looked pretty funky, too. So it went with the hat.
Did you guys, were you similar pitchers? And I mean, in terms of, you know, you mentioned Tony could bring one of you in the sixth, one in the eighth, kind of the lefty specialist. But if I remember, you guys just weren't specialists. You guys were pitchers.
Well, me and Klein are fed off each other because, you know, a lot of times when you go to a new team or you got another lefty, it's always a competition between the two lefties. Now, who's going to go first? Who's going to get the lighter part? And we never had that argument, never had that tension between us. Our goal was, okay, if I'm going to sixth, you're ready to eighth, or, you know, vice versa. If you hot, Tony going to go to you, or, you know, anything like that, to where we both committed each other. We both talked, okay, I'm coming in, going to face, you know, Griffey or Bonds, wow, or, you know, Sean Casey, to what did you do to him? What did you do? Did you say anything different, to where we talk about hitters, and it just made it easier for us, and we both went out and had, you know, successful seasons.
I faced some guy named Tom Smith in high school, and Ray King's talking Griffey and all of these other guys. That's incredible. Ray King, I'll even add to it, 86 games in 04, 32 holds, 5 wins, 2.61 ERA. It's amazing. You guys, of course, went to the World Series. Ray, you won't understand this probably. You'll understand it, but not know. My dad passed away in 06 of cancer and was kind of battling it pretty hard in 04. And when you guys made the World Series, my brother and I said, we've got to get Dad back to a Cardinals game. Because like you, I grew up, we all grew up being Cardinals baseball fans, went to games, listened to the Mighty Mocs. Jack Buck was always my mentor and the number one guy I've ever heard in my life. And I know that you guys lost that series, but it was such a moment, Ray, for me to walk into Busch Stadium with my dad. And, you know, do you guys ever realize, do you ever grasp sometimes what fans maybe explain to you in terms of, man, you have no idea what that meant to me?
No, because as a player, you're still a fan. You know, even though I played for other teams, but I always was a Cardinals fan. So anytime, you know, we'd get home when I was with the Brewers or, you know, Cubs or the teams, and you just fall in the Cardinals to where you still root from them from external. And then when you get there and you just realize once you put that uniform on, it's kind of like a fraternity. The fans in St. Louis is unbelievable, to where as soon as you get there, they take their time, they're polite, and they understand the game. If it's 110 degrees outside, it's 40,000, 50,000. If it's 10 degrees outside, they're still there. And they understand the game. And I remember just sitting at bullpen talking to fans and just realizing how great that city was. And me as a fan, to be a player, you just get that feel to where you're always going to be part of it. So when we went to that World Series, yeah, we got swept. But even the fans afterwards is just like, oh, it was a great season. You know, we just missed it. But, to, you know, tell everybody, there's a lot of guys played their whole career and never got a chance to get to the playoffs.
Right.
So to pitch the World Series, to give it back to the fans, and you just feed off the fans, you know, just that hoorah. So you look at the team today, you know, they're on a surge and get back home where they just get that extra, I'm going to get that extra jump because the fans in the game, or I got that extra adrenaline coming in the bullpen, where I'm going to shut it down, to where you're walking off, you see signs, you see familiar faces. And that's the best part about St. Louis, is you see familiar faces from fans. And that means a lot, to where when you can give back as a player, then come back as an ex-player, and you still get that love. So by far, St. Louis is the best city to play baseball, and I've played in a lot of ballparks.
Very cool.
It's a pleasure to be joined by Ray King, former Cardinal. Great arm out of that bullpen. Was also in the same trade as Adam Wainwright.
Yeah, baby.
Who's doing some awesome stuff right now. He's still going. Cardinals are winning every time he's taking the mound, pretty much. And, Ray, I do want to ask you about what he's looking like right now, but how about back when that trade was made? He was 21 years old. I think Double A was where he pitched in 2003 in Atlanta. I know you came, I think you were just, if I'm not mistaken, with the Braves for 1 year after coming over from Milwaukee. Did you know who that dude was even at that point in time? Did you even know who Adam Wainwright was?
Well, you look at Wainwright and the Braves organization to where a lot of younger pitchers, they brought him around in big league camps. And, you know, the Braves have been around, you know, the Smokes, the Glavin, the Maddox, and all that. And Wainwright just had that demeanor about him to where he was a sponge. He's always willing to learn. And you just, you know, see it now to where, you know, 17, 18 years later, he's better than he was when he first came over.
Yeah.
But I joke about that trade. You know, we came back for the reunion of the, you know, 2004 team. I told Walt Jockin, I was like, you know, you got lucky because I was the main focus in that trade, y'all, throwing Wainwright, and he just happened to pan out.
That's so true. Is it improbable that he's doing what he's doing right now at age 40?
Well, I think Wainwright, you know, he had some arm issues early. He fought back, but he's a guy that studies the game, and like I said, I think learning from the guys like Maddox and Smoltz and still watching guys from afar and then coming over and, you know, when Duncan was there, you know, Duncan takes, you know, give him a lot of credit to where just retooling, refining Wainwright to where, you know, he went to the bullpen and had that great success, you know, closing out the game against the Mets with that Uncle Charlie curveball. And then later in your life, you've been around, you know, Woody Williams and Matty Moe and, you know, even Carpenter
teaching
them, you know, cutters and, you know, things like that to where he's become a better pitcher than a thrower. And I've been watching him from, you know, last 2 months to where he's just coming in and he's hitting his spots. And when you get that adrenaline going, you get on that ride, pitching, it doesn't become easy, but it becomes to where repetition, okay, this is working, I'm not going to change, and then have a catch behind the plate with Molina to where you don't sink, it just makes the game go quicker and faster. And, you know, he's having great success and he's, you know, just challenging people. And it's almost a point now where he, you know, quote unquote, it could be his last few rod, but he may come back. But you're just pitching on that emotion to where nothing has to matter. I'm gonna go quote unquote balls to the wall, and whatever happens, happens. And right now, he's in a driver's seat.
I love it. Ray King doesn't know this, but he's actually going to join us till 8 tonight because I just keep coming up with questions. I kid, Ray. I kid. You brought up Matt Morris. I don't think we realize how good of a pitcher he was for the Cardinals. Some of us do, I think, that really appreciate it. He kind of started that with Carp and then Waino and, you know, kind of got that little tradition of those starters that always kind of gave the ball to the next guy. But you when you think of Waino, you think of Carlos Beltran and that game against the Mets in 06. Now, I don't think you were on that team, but do you recall that and how, you know, knowing Adam, how big was that moment and how scary would that moment have been for him to go out at the then Shea Stadium and try to face Carlos Beltran, who beat the brains out of the Cardinals every time he faced him?
Well, you look at a situation where, you know, Wayne went to the bullpen and you coming in a huge situation has been a younger guy. I think it was like his second year in the league or third year in the league to where it's big pressure situations. And I think, you know, from the mindset that Waino has is he's the guy, he's going to challenge you. And that curveball he had, I don't think anybody can hit that curveball. I think I'll put Tony Gwynn up there. I don't think Tony Gwynn would have hit that one. That's probably one of the best hitters in the game. But,
yes,
you know, like I said, Beltran, you know, switch hitter, turn him around, and he had been crushing the ball that year. But that was just, that sets the tone to see the type of pitcher Wainwright is to where he challenged people. He don't run away from competition, you know. It just, you know, that curveball now, I visually see it over and over again ever since you talk about it. And it's just one of the things where, you know, big-time players come through in big-time situations.
Mm.
Ray, as a Cardinals fan, we're soaking up as much as we can of Waino and, of course, Yadi as they go down in the twilight of their careers, but both very good still. And hopefully maybe even next year is going to be their year to walk off into the sunset. But you throw into Yadi. What was that like? What kind of things did he bring to the table that made you better as a pitcher? Did you feel that at all? I think that's been kind of a common narrative throughout his career. And can you throw out just kind of a slight to Cubs fans around here who say he's not a Hall of Famer?
Well, even to go back before Yadi, you know, Mike Matheny was, you know, was a great catcher to where I think Yadi picked up a lot of tendencies from Mike, been a student of the game, you know, been a voice in the meetings or been a guy to, okay, I may not hit 300, but my 240 is going to be some great hits and clutch situations to where my job is to be a catcher, to be able to control the pace of the game, control, you know, the umpire, like, hey, I got to get that call, I got to get this, or it just Yadi was behind the plate. You just had that confidence to where, you know, special relievers come in the game. We got runners on base to where we know they're not going to run them because he's such a great thrower. You know, you look at some of the feet work to where throwing guys out onto the back pick to first base to where, okay, he's been having this game, so he got eyes on what's been going on. This hitter hadn't done this. So where we come out of bullpen, you don't see a lot of guys shake. It's kind of he put that one, two, or three down, and let's go to where it's all about tempo. And, you know, Yadi is the first ballot Hall of Famer, and any writer who don't vote for him should get their voting rights taken away.
I love it. Yes.
I love that. Last one for you, Ray, and we really appreciate the time. What are you up to these days? Are you still around the game? What are you doing other than answering our calls?
You living out here in Arizona, and I'm coaching a club baseball team. It's called Wild Factor. So we take 16-year-old kids. I was just in Florida with them. We've been down to Alabama. We just going around getting them seen by colleges, trying to get them into college, no matter if it's JUCO or D1. It's just, you know, giving back to the game that gave me so much to where I just had a phone call where we're going to start a Wild Factor West out here in Arizona area to start doing some West Coast things. So coaching, loving the game, and, you know, just living a dream. You know, right now it's a little tough time. I lost my daughter about 2 months ago. She was 19, so.
Oh, no.
Just trying to, you know, keep busy and, you know, stay on the field because the field gave me so much and I know that's what she wants. So coaching kids and staying around kids is keeping me going.
Oh, wow. Ray, our prayers to you, man. I did not realize that. Our prayers to you for sure on that. And I'd love to hear you in an announcer's booth. Have you ever thought about doing that?
I did a little bit of stuff with CBS Sports and COVID hit a little bit. So,
okay.
You know, I mean, we're still searching. If some pop up, I love it. You know, radio, because I love talking a game. The game is, you know, it's just spectacular to where if you see me, I'm at a baseball field or, you know, walking around the house with a baseball in my hand as I'm doing now because, you know, game of baseball gave me so much and anything I can give back in any kind of way and broadcast would be a blast because I get to tell stories from, you know, going to the Cubs and finishing in D.C.
That's get a hold of Claybs. You know, Mike Claiborne, he's our guy, man. He'll talk your ear off, and that's what we love. Ray King, my son is actually a senior at Arizona State, and I'm coming out to Arizona next weekend. I'm giving you a call. We're going to go have a beer. No,
yeah,
I'm kidding.
Give my number. We'll actually get together. Grab a cold one or, you know, go catch a game.
That'd be incredible. If you don't mind, I may text you when I'm out there and just see if you're what you're up to or whatever. I won't bother you, I promise. I'm not one of those guys.
No, I'm wide open. I'm at home every day, and, you know, like I said, I just got back from Florida last weekend. Next trip's not till end of January, so let's go out and talk some baseball and watch some baseball, and I can show you a few spots around Phoenix.
That'd be incredible. Ray King, prayers to you, number one. I just did not know that, and I just can't imagine how that is. So my heart goes out to you for that. But thank you so much for joining us. We've had a bunch of texts come in on our U of I Lion Lake text line. Like, what an awesome guy and an awesome interview. I'm so glad we did this, and I appreciate you 100%. Thank you for your input, Ray.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Like, anytime you talk Cardinal baseball, and it's just the love of the game. So anytime you guys want to chat, let me know, and hopefully opening day happens again. We're going to get some fans in. Yes. I'll be back in St. Louis opening day.
Sweet. He's the better-looking one of Steve Klein. It's not even close. That's Ray King, baby. Former St. Louis Cardinal. Ray, thanks again.
Anytime.
Okay. That is Ray King. That was incredible. That was incredible.
That was really awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Worth the search on Twitter.
Oh. I mean, that was incredible. I did not know about his daughter. I just don't know how you deal with that. I just don't. And I mean, that took my breath away when he said that. And for him, I mean, you can just, that's how he pitched. Like, he was a personality. Steve Klein was just, you know, that guy. He was, oh boy. But Ray King was funny. I mean, he just, like you said, he'd sprint in from the bullpen and he was damn good.
He was.
Really good. I wish the Cardinals would have kept him more than just the small time they had with him. Somebody had mentioned Don't forget this guy, Jason Marquis. Of course, we mentioned that as well, but Marquis came in, I think, in 04 and won 15 games. I think I read that today. It was like 15-9 for the Cardinals. What a trade by Walt Jocketty. I know a lot of people have their issues with John Mozeliak, and I think John's done a pretty good job in St. Louis. I know here in the end, there's been some hiccups. There's no doubt. I'm not going to argue that. And certainly a lot of people weren't ready for the transition. And yet there were people that thought Walt Jocketty was too old school. He wasn't getting into what you need now with the sabermetrics, that kind of thing. Whereas Walt Jocketty was a guy that would, like Ray King, just go to the diamond and say, what kid am I? Oh, that kid right there? Okay, let me see him pitch, and I'll tell you whether or not we're going to draft him. But certainly the story I read today, it said essentially that John Schuerholz for the Braves had essentially said, no, it's going to be J.D. Drew and Eli Marrero for Jason Marquis and Ray King. And Ray King was right. He joked about it, but he was right. He was kind of the key to that trade. And Walt Jocketty kept saying the trade is not going to happen without Adam Wainwright. And, of course, like you brought up, he was a double-A pitcher. You had no idea he was going to turn out to be this good. But certainly every Braves fan that I know will curse me whenever I see them because they're like, really? You had to take Adam Wainwright, and now he just continues to pitch and continues to be good. They can't wait for him to retire so they can get out of, you know, out of the nightmare of getting rid of him. J.D. Drew, I think, played 1 year in Atlanta. He had a huge year.
He's darn good.
He had a huge year. Had like 31 home runs for the Braves, like 100-some RBI. J.D. Drew was good. He was just hurt a lot with the Cardinals. And that's kind of what led to that. But, yeah, it was incredible. Wade said, absolutely awesome, man. I listen, Ray King, I might go have a beer with him.
You should.
I could hang with Ray King in Arizona. I'm in. All right, Trevor, are you ready for Trev's ticket? He is. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's get it on. It's time to win some money. I don't know why I don't take our own advice and listen to you guys. I'm going to this week. It's The Drive.
Caution, a virus has been detected.
Captain, our bandwidth is too low and the firewall is down. The viruses are attacking. This is an emergency.
We'll be just fine. All we need is a competent captain, such as myself.
Computer, how are we looking?
Guidance cannot compute. Computers have been infested. We should have used Area Wide.
Quickly, call down to Area Wide. Technologies to Champagne. The number is 359-8041.
Security threat neutralized.
Area Wide has done it again. We must remember to call them for our cyber security need. Take us home, Lieutenant.
Do you want to do something nice for your family? How about the gift of time and less work? Introducing the Wash and Dry Club from Country Squire Cleaners. Every week, Country Squire will come to your home in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, and Mahomet and deliver it back to your home 3 days later. Laundry done, $25 a week for 25 pounds. The Wash and Dry Club, Country Squire Cleaners, Round Barn in Champaign. Call 356-9422 for complete details. 356-9422. Call today.
Honey, I'm craving apples and I need them right now.
Okay, sweetie, whatever you say, but where should I get apples?
Apples.
I know. I'll go to Curtis Orchard.
Hi, welcome to Curtis Orchard. How may I help you?
My wife is pregnant and craving apples. Do you have any?
Of course. We have apple butter, apple preserves, apple pie, apple cider, apple crisp donuts. Of course, regular apples.
Wow.
Congratulations, by the way. Do you know what you'll name the baby?
Like Gwyneth Paltrow's daughter, we were thinking maybe Apple.
Do you want to do something nice for your family? How about the gift of time and less work? Introducing the Wash and Dry Club from Country Squire Cleaners. Every week, Country Squire will come to your home in Champaign, Urbana, Savoy, and Mahomet and deliver it back to your home 3 days later. Laundry done, $25 a week for 25 pounds. The Wash and Dry Club, Country Squire Cleaners, Round Barn in Champaign. Call 356-9422 for complete details. 356-9422. Call today.
At Forward from Rastavi, Georgia, number 15, Georgie B.
Hey, it's me, Georgie B. My last 3 years in Champaign have been amazing, amazing, amazing. But the fun doesn't have to stop. Get down to Game Day Spirit to find the exclusive Georgie B t-shirt collection. You will be glad you did. It's always a great day to have a great day at Game Day Spirit, baby. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop. Yes, sir.
There's nothing better than real Texas barbecue, and no better place to get it than Hickory River Smokehouse. Every cut of beef, brisket, turkey breast, pork shoulder, and on-the-bone chicken are rubbed with a signature spice blend and infused with real hickory smoke for that juicy, award-winning flavor. Open for drive-through, takeout, dine-in, catering for tailgates, and inside the stadium on game days. Look for your favorite barbecue on the east side of Memorial Stadium. Plus, don't forget you can skip the drive-through line and order online. It's HickoryRiver.com. Can't wait to see ya.
Fighting Illini football is right around the corner. Get down to the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit, to gear up for your return to Memorial Stadium this fall. With their great selection of football designs and tailgate necessities, Game Day Spirit is the one-stop shop for Illinois football fans. Visit one of their convenient locations at the corner of 6th and Green in Campus Town, Neal and Kirby in Champaign, or online 24-7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop. Long's Garage in Urbana is the oldest auto repair facility in the area. In fact, they've been in business 80 years. That spanned 20 presidential elections. The population of Champaign-Urbana 80 years ago was around 23,000. Now it's over 210,000, and Long's is still proudly serving all of them. There aren't many places that can survive and thrive through 80 years of outstanding service, so give Long's a shot at 503 East Main Street in Urbana or online at longsautomotiverepair.com.
Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, you save an average of $889. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw is ready to help you combine home and auto and save right here in Champaign-Urbana. Call 352-1411 today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Average annual per household savings based on a 2019 national survey by State Farm of new policyholders who reported savings by switching to State Farm.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Max Kellerman. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
You gamble?
Gambling? Who's anything about gambling? It's not gambling when you know you're going to win.
It's my money, and I need it now.
Everything here revolves around betting.
Come on, sweetheart, that's gambling. You want to gamble? That's gambling.
It's my money, and I need it now!
From casino to casino.
I do not have a gambling problem. You do not owe $15,000. It's $20,000.
I want to be a billionaire.
That's sneaky sniffy. You're like sniffy in a bad way.
Okay.
It's my money and I need it now.
Oh, gambling's fun and easy.
The guy has an algorithm to determine the winner of any given college basketball game.
It's my money and I need it now.
Here comes the money.
Money.
Show me the money.
I'm still basking in the glow of Ray King. Number one saying Cardinals fans are the best. Number two saying Yachty is a Hall of Famer. Hi, Trevor.
And saying he checked us out and that we were a green light.
I wonder if he got a hold of Claves. Claves
probably
like,
sense.
Oh, yeah, they're good dudes. You can handle it with them. Okay, baby, let's talk. We did get a nice text. 651 said, I'm a lifelong Cubs fan. I totally enjoyed that interview. 66 years old this month. That's a lot of suffering, he said. Or she. I know, but you got that World Series, baby, and that's what matters. Trevor, are you ready to go on Trev's ticket, my friend?
I am ready.
Let's roll.
You want me to start?
Yeah.
I will start in college, and I'm going to go Cincinnati -3.5 at Indiana. I know Iowa may turn out to be really good, but I don't know. Something about that 34-3 loss kind of scared me on Indiana's side. I don't think they're going to be bad, but I've got my doubts that they can hang with Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati went 9-0 last year in the slightly shortened COVID season and then almost beat Georgia in the bowl game.
I agree. They're good.
They're a legit, I don't know if they're college football playoff contender unless a bunch of weird stuff happens, but they're up there.
Does Fickell go to USC?
I mean, he should be a candidate, I think.
I agree.
Up there with Campbell and a few others. I'm still not believing that Urban Meyer says no chance until we actually see it or don't see it. But in any case, I know there's a hook on it, but I still like Cincinnati and the 3.5 on the road at Indiana.
Okay. They're part of my time slot parlay.
Oh, boy.
Which is coming up later.
I don't know if that should make me feel good or bad.
Well, you don't know which way I'm going.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'm going to give you two teams that I like to go to. They're my go-to teams. Number one is Arizona State. They are at BYU. Now, BYU has already beaten this year Arizona, which is not that big of a deal anymore, but they also beat Utah, and that's pretty stinking impressive. Arizona State is a 3.5-point favorite at Provo. Is it Provo or Provo?
Provo. Provo.
This is a tough get right here for Herm Edwards in Arizona State, but I'm a believer in Jaden Daniels. He is a stud. I think Arizona State's defense is good enough. You're going to have to stay up late to watch it. I'm taking ASU in the -3.5 in this game at Utah.
They copied BYU. Penn State. They said it's a whiteout.
Are they really?
I mean, in that they're doing a whiteout.
We'll bring it.
I like it. I like it.
Let's go.
You wanted a pick for Thursday. I'm giving it to you right off the bat.
Oh.
Player prop time.
Let's go.
Taylor Heineke's playing quarterback for the Washington football team. And you know who he really enjoys as a target? Obviously, scary Terry McLaurin, but Logan Thomas, the tight end. His receiving yards prop is 44.5.
Drafted by the Cardinals as a quarterback.
Was he really?
Yeah, Bruce Arians drafted Logan Thomas, I think, in the 5th round as a quarterback.
Virginia Tech, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was unaware.
Oh, yeah.
Heineke got the start in the last year's playoff game against the Bucs, he had 5 catches for 74 yards and a touchdown, that being Logan Thomas. He had a touchdown last week in week 1 against the Chargers. So I'm going to go over 44.5 receiving yards for him tonight. And
a score?
Anytime touchdown is +180. Ooh. I like him on that as well.
Are you parlaying that or each bet?
I would go separate.
Okay.
I like it.
I do too.
I'm going to get a little risky just because of who they're playing, but I'm going to take Florida +16 at home against Alabama. The Swamp is one of the tougher places to play. This is Alabama's first true road test. I found this stat, and I find it so strange just because Alabama's been so dominant. In their last 5 road games, not the Chick-fil-A kickoff bowl against whoever in Atlanta, in their last 5 true road games, Alabama is 1-4 against the spread against above 500 opponents.
Wow.
So the last 5 times they've played an above 500 team on the road, they're 1-4 against the spread. They might have won most of those games, but they didn't cover.
Where do you even find that?
You just look, Lon.
You got to look.
You
got to
do your research.
Is that called research?
It is.
That seems weird to me.
The Gators lead the nation in rushing yards and rushing percentage. I don't think they're going to win outright, but asking them to keep it within 16 at home feels somewhat reasonable to me. So I'll take Florida and the 16 at home.
Aren't they like +540 on the money line?
Is it that?
It's crazy on the money line.
But see, I don't want to go so crazy as to say the national title favorite's going to lose outright.
Right,
but
right.
16 is a lot.
That is a lot of points down at the Swamp. All right, I'm going Ole Miss here at the Grove against Tulane. Tulane +14.5 in this. Tulane actually scared Oklahoma. Ole Miss has a little bit of a sketchy D. Lane Kiffin is doing some things down there. Don't get me wrong. But 14.5, that's a big number. So kind of like you going with Florida against Bama, I'm going to say the Rebs win this game, but Tulane's going to cover. Take the green wave to cover the 14.5.
All right. There you go.
Was that Derek's team or was it?
I like Tulane.
Oh, that's right.
2 years ago. Darnell Mooney was on that team.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. That's why he's smiling over here.
Which, by the way, my team, Army, I had a -7 last week. They were up 20 and won by 3. Just a horrible backdoor bad beat. But
I think Trevor, didn't have very good weekends. I think Pipes over here
went 3-2.
Kick butt.
I don't remember what my record was.
3-2? You only bet 5 times?
Yeah,
I bet 5 times in an hour.
I had Rams, Bears under, which hit by half a point.
Yeah.
I had Jaguars, Texans over. That hit easily. And then I had Virginia -9.5. That definitely hit. And I had 2 go wrong.
How about your baseball game last night?
I don't want to talk about it. Let's get to Derek's pick.
Let's make some money. Trevor mentioned Rams-Bears and making money off the Bears by not scoring. Let's make some more money off those Bears. They're at home against the Bengals. And I have said this for a while, and I'm sticking to it. The Bears will be down at halftime in this game, and they will put Justin Fields in. You can get the Bengals at +114 to be up at halftime, because the Bears will start and play Andy Dalton, and their secondary will get shredded by Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd. The Bengals are going to be up in this game. The Bears are going to be chasing. It's whether or not Matt Nagy will push the button and say, Fields, your second half is out there. But the Bengals will be up at halftime, +114.
Boom, man. That's a cool one right there.
No red rifle revenge narrative for you, Derek,
nope,
against this
not buying
former
it.
Team.
Going against this Bengals squad. I like that, man. You guys think outside the box. You get another one here.
I have one more college one. This one is my stinky sniffy one of the week.
Ooh.
Virginia Tech is a 3-point underdog at West Virginia. West Virginia just lost to Maryland by double digits. they beat some FCS team last week. Virginia Tech's 2-0, and they, I mean, they laid a licking on Sam Howell, Derek's Heisman pick, in North Carolina in week one.
I saw this spread today, and I could not believe it.
I think the Hokies are legit.
I do, too.
And I'm not really sure why they aren't the favorite in this game. I get that it's in West Virginia, but I'm still going to take Virginia Tech plus 3 on the road.
Take me home, country roads. Derek?
There are a couple of... Look, betting is a game.
Yeah.
You just got to know how to play it sometimes. And there are two free spaces in the NFL this week. And that being...
It's like bingo.
The Bucs at home against the Falcons.
Yes.
And the Packers at home against the Lions. I don't want to hear that the Lions have any chance to win that game. For as bad as Green Bay looked.
No.
So take those two and pick one other team as far as a money line. I'm picking the Broncos on the road against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars are an absolute mess. Urban Meyer will even make it through this season for trying to fake an injury and end up in USC. So those three teams all on the money line would be minus 122. I think it's very safe. Again, you're really just banking on Denver going to Jacksonville and winning the game. Bridgewater looked good. Their defense is very, very good. This Jacksonville team made the Houston Texans look like a decent squad.
Amen.
So
I like
minus 122 for those three.
I'm going to go, since he's going parlays, and go my nooner.
Okay.
On Sunday. So I'm breaking it down. I got a time slot parlay for you on football games at college. I got a nooner in the NFL, and then I got a 3 p.m. parlay. Here's my nooner. I'm taking the Bears to win. And I'll be fine with Cincy being up at half, but I think Justin Fields comes in, and the talk next week is going to be all about Justin Fields securing that job, and he's going to have it for the next 20 years.
So maybe you both are on that bandwagon.
It's not Adam Wainwright. Yeah.
And then start.
I do. I totally do. Take the Bears to win. Take Cleveland against Houston to win. Take Buffalo at Miami. That's going to be a tough game, but Buffalo lost that first week to Pittsburgh. I don't think they're falling in this one. And then take Denver, like you said, at Jacksonville. You put $10 on that, you win 33. Mm. So give me Chicago, Cleveland, Buffalo, Denver in the nooner on Sunday.
I like that.
All right.
Nooner.
All
right. I'm basically stealing off of both of your guys as they combined for my sort of parlay teaser of the week. You can... You know, teasing is technically 6 points, but then you can...
Yes.
That plus button is awfully tempting there.
It is.
And you just keep smashing it until the price you get still looks nice, but you're given more and more points. So that's what I did here. I took the Browns teased down to 2.5, the Bucks teased down to 2.5, and the Packers teased down to 2.5, and that's minus 110 on FanDuel.
Nice.
So you're just betting that the Packers beat the Lions at home by a field goal, that the Bucks beat the Falcons at home by a field goal, and that the Browns beat the Texans at home by a field goal.
Well, that's going to work. I actually took your teaser last week, Pipes, but I popped it down one and won a little bit more money on it.
Okay.
But I appreciate you throwing that in there.
Absolutely.
And I might do the same on what Trevor just threw out.
Okay.
You're the man.
I've got another one here. I'm not buying the Colts.
Okay.
I don't buy them. I know they're at home yet again. Russell Wilson shredded them. I think Matt Stafford and the Rams walk in there. They're minus 3.5 as road underdogs. I think they cover that. I think they go in there and are able to hold down a Colts offense that has no explosiveness whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aaron Donald making Carson Wentz uncomfortable. That's automatically going to be a sack fumble for the Rams. And I just think that they win comfortably, at least by a touchdown. Rams
like
minus 3.5.
I like
Also, the Seahawks just went in there and won comfortably. So any weird West Coast traveling to Central time zone narrative, they just busted that. So.
And Russell Wilson threw the ball all over the place. So if there's a prop for Stafford in terms of touchdowns, maybe an alternate touchdown prop, that would be one I think I'd look at.
Listen to you.
Trevor's like a proud father. He is like a proud father right now. You want me to give you my 3 p.m.? Here's my 3 p.m. We need to know. We need a name. So you texters out there, I got the nooner. I need a name for the 3 p.m. NFL games.
The threer just doesn't.
It doesn't. The threer doesn't do it. All right. Don't you think for a second I'm not riding that Arizona Cardinal train at home against Minnesota. Hell yes. They looked incredible, and now they got the Vikings coming in. Patrick Peterson making his trip back to Glendale. Take Arizona. Take Tampa Bay. Take Seattle against Tennessee at home. And take Dallas to upset the Chargers at LA. Dallas played really well against Tampa. Could have won that game. I think they do win the game in LA. So give me Arizona money line, Tampa Bay money line, Seattle money line, and ride the upset with Dallas money line. You throw $10 down, you'll win 50. You can thank me later on that one.
Titans 0-2.
I know.
Yikes.
I need Derrick Henry to be big in that game, but not win. Although I'd be all right with Tennessee winning that. I would almost even be all right with hammering
my
partner.
There's going to be one upset in that foursome. And it's either going to be Dallas or Tennessee, I would think.
There were so many upsets in week one. It was crazy.
Well, I told you guys, I saw something. Somebody put $10 on six underdogs outright to win, and they won $6,000 on it.
Ah!
And it wasn't even that. I mean, it was just like the Bengals to win, the Steelers to win, the Dolphins to win. And
I like it. Jim says, afternoon delight.
I like that.
So did another 217. Jim said Trey Money. But since two came in with afternoon delight, that's what we're doing.
Gonna find my... No, I'm not.
Can we fit that song in here that I can go... No, I'm kidding. I like it, boys. Thank you for texting in. Go ahead, Trevor.
This one you both already mentioned and I've mentioned as well, but I'm just taking it separately too. I'll take the Broncos -5. At Jacksonville. Teddy Bridgewater is a covering machine. He's 23-3 against the spread on the road as a starting quarterback. He just picked up another one easily in New York against the Giants. Throw in the interception-prone rookie Trevor Lawrence against this Denver D, and I'll gladly take the Broncos to cover the 5.
Trevor Lawrence threw for what? 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions week 1. So, you know, hey, at least unlike the Bears, they're throwing him out there to get it, you know, just go. Go.
Right? Do you like free money? Some free money is being offered right now. You do have to pay a little bit of a price.
Is this another bingo?
No.
Oh.
I don't. We can maybe make a reference there. I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's back to Joe Burrow killing the Bears secondary. And his line for passing touchdowns is 1.5.
Ooh.
You can get the over at -140, so you'd have to bet 14 to win 10. But that's free. I mean,
that's free
it
money.
Will hit by halftime. I can assure you it will be...
No Joe Mixon on the ground 12 times? He ran
a
lot.
Bears have a good run defense.
I agree. They showed
that against the Rams. And they're like, okay, I guess we'll throw the ball all over the freaking place with guys running wide open. So take his prop, and then I'm going to rope one more in there while we're talking quarterback props. It wouldn't be a week if I'm not betting on the Bucs.
Now, you're not getting emotional here with the Bears, are you?
No.
Okay.
But I should.
I mean, we know this is logic and emotion.
Emotional, you should just hammer it even more because you're emotionally frustrated.
I mean, we know our teams, right? We know our teams. Okay, you're going Bucs, and you are always right on the Bucs.
We hit Tom Brady's passing prop last week. He had to get 2 touchdowns, and it was by halftime.
You were smiling. I could see your smile in the sky when Tom Brady threw touchdowns after touchdown.
So his passing yardage line against a Falcons secondary right now, they, by the way, Pro Football Focus says the worst in the league, is a 311.5.
Wow.
So 311.5, which Brady has hit in his last 4 regular season games. 2 of those were against the Falcons where he threw for 390 and 399 at the end of last year. Tom Brady over 311.5 passing yards.
Is there a worry that they're up 42-0 early and he's out? At 300 yards, probably not.
A little bit, but the Bucs secondary showed some chinks in the armor to where maybe Matt Ryan and Calvin Ridley can put up a little bit of resistance. And also, Tom Brady's not here playing at age 50.
No.
To just be like, oh, I just came to win the game and then go sit on the sideline and put a hat on. Like, he's trying to just break records.
He totally is telling everybody, I am the best player that's ever played this game, and I'm going to continue to show you that. It's incredible. Trevor.
Okay, my last just straight up spread bet. I'm taking the Panthers +3.5 at home against the Saints.
Okay.
I feel like there's a little bit. We're going to have a lot of week one overcompensations
one way
or the other.
That's fair.
Like you just mentioned the Bills. Suddenly people are saying, well, maybe the Dolphins. I don't think the Bills are going to start 0-2. They had a weird block punt that sort of lost them that game.
Good call.
In a similar way, I don't think the Saints are going to be bad. But Jameis throwing 5 touchdowns on 140 passing yards is like the flukiest thing you've ever seen. I don't know why. It looked like the Packers were like, it's like they were stoned before the game or something. They just didn't do anything.
Listen, Bob Marley sounds coming out of Green Bay's locker room. Don't know what that means.
New Orleans has also been decimated with COVID issues this week. You've got Michael Thomas. Their kicker, Will Lutz, is out, so they had to just sign a kicker. Their center is out, and Marshawn Lattimore and Marcus Davenport on defense both out.
Are you kidding me?
They're also missing 6 assistants this weekend because of COVID. And despite that win, they didn't get a chance to go home because of the hurricane.
Oh, that's right.
So they are now missing half their coaching staff, a few of their key players. They're coming off the big win, but they haven't been able to practice consistently anywhere. And the Panthers, I know it was the Jets.
Yeah.
But six sacks for the Panthers in week one. Darnold looked pretty good. McCaffrey's, you know, I mean, we know how good
I'm
he
with
is.
You.
I'll take the Panthers because you get that hook, too, at home, plus 3.5.
There's like six assistants staying at a Super 8 somewhere eating Domino's pizza. Like hoping they can find a place to watch the NFL ticket and watch that game. You guys ready for my time slot parlay?
I'm ready.
I feel like we need an explosion. Well, there it was. Yes, I'll give you money. I'll give you
some. You need one of those noises. That's what you need.
It's called the time slot parlay because I'm giving you a game in each time slot. You get it? So here's what we got. Trevor. I'm going with Trevor here in the 11 a.m. game, Cincinnati at Indiana. Now, mind you, I'm not doing points on these. I'm just doing money line. So I'm taking Cincinnati to win at Indiana, even though I do like Trevor's idea to take the 3.5 with Cincy. Then at noon, Minnesota is at Colorado. That is some hard air to breathe in Boulder. Give me Colorado to beat Minnesota there. Notre Dame at 1:30 hosting Purdue. I think this game will be a little bit closer than we think, but I'm still going Notre Dame to win at home. So take Cincinnati, take Colorado, take Notre Dame at 2:30. You got USC at Washington State. I know USC's coming off the coaching. Clay Helton fired. They're not going to go out and lose this game to Washington State. Take USC. You got Mississippi State at Memphis at 3 o'clock. Go with Mississippi State. That's going to be a good game. I think Memphis can hang with them, but that's helping my money line there with the 3.5 spread. But take Mississippi State, and then why not at 5 o'clock take UTSA over Middle Tennessee, 12.5-point favorite. You're not getting much off that, but it's a win for you. And by then, you're going to be like, sweet. And the late game, yes, I'm going Arizona State again. I'm doubling up on the Sun Devils to beat by BYU. Those are all money lines. If you do those games and bet $10, you're going to win $135, and you're going to owe me a case of Bud Light. Boom. That's the time slot parlay.
That's epic.
Ah, you found it.
I love that.
All right. Who else has any left?
I mean, out.
I'm kind of out of bullets.
Okay.
Kind of
out of bullets.
I do like the Logan Thomas thing tonight, though.
Oh, yeah. Is there another one we could... Okay.
Heineke's over-under for rush yards, I think, is like
18.5.
And I thought he was like a scrambling quarterback.
He is. So
maybe you look at... But, I mean, the Giants' defense is pretty good. I don't know. It's kind of yucky tonight.
Brad Evans was all about Heineke.
Heineke's rushing.
Yeah, he was all about that. So I'm in on that.
Would you dare Giants under 7.5 points in the first half?
Against a backup, you know why I don't dare do that is because Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
I just don't trust him.
I mean, you shouldn't.
I'm saying the Giants to score less than 7.5 points.
Oh, I thought you meant they'd be within 7.5. Oh, well, then I should go.
If you don't trust Daniel Jones, that is.
Right.
A score of touchdown, kick a field goal, you're screwed. But.
I mean, Saquon, not getting much work, right?
He's hurt.
He
not
is
100%.
Hurt. Yeah, he is hurt.
If I dare, not to spoil the show for tomorrow, if you can bet Maryland -7, you should bet Maryland -7. I'm sorry, but. If that is available to you, you should do so.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
I think Heineke's like plus 200 anytime touchdown, too. He's a running quarterback.
Who else hears the word Heineke and thinks Heineke?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going Heine.
Oh, no, I'm going Heineken, the beer.
I see.
Which always brings me back to a story my brother told when his best friend from college got married. They had Heinekens at the wedding. I'm like, well, how much money do they have? And after the wedding was over, my brother was the best man. They were walking back through. Everybody was gone. And there was these half-consumed bottles of Heinekens that are so expensive. And Chris, the guy that got married, was like, I feel like I need to sit here and just drink all of these because this is tearing me up inside. I loved it. All right. Got to thank Ryan McClure from Rhino's Fine Sports Collectibles, 12:30 to 3 o'clock. This Saturday at Rhino's Fine Sports Collectibles, Andre Curbelo will be there signing autographs. It's $35 to get an autograph, but this dude's going to play in the NBA. And he is one of the nicest kids you'll ever meet and inspiring kids. So definitely go check that out again.
Talking to him and getting to know him will be worth more than the autograph potentially.
Amen. Amen. We're running out of music here, so I'm going to do the improbable and do it again. So do that. 12:30 to 3 o'clock, Rhino's Fine Sports Collectibles in Mahomet. You get a chance to meet Andre Curbelo. Also want to thank Ray King. One of the coolest interviews.
That's awesome.
That we've ever just kind of, like, here's what we could do. He was incredible. If you did not get a chance to hear that, please go back and listen to that. You can get that at stevieJay.com. That's stevieJay.com. Well done on Trev's ticket, boys. We will see everybody at Pia's tomorrow. We'll be there from 4 to 6. We are your pregame spot for Illinois and Maryland tomorrow night. We'll see if any of us, minus Hans, have upset brewing. We're out of here. It's the drive.